So I was riding down the road the other day, just to jump into the message here. I was riding down the road the other day with a couple of friends, and one of them happens to be a former English teacher. And in the middle of a sentence, he used this word, curmudgeon. And I went, curmudgeon. And I kind of could make some sense of the word because it was in the middle of a sentence. So the context gave me a clue about what that word was. But I'm like, good grief, who uses a word like that? You know? And I did what a bunch of you are probably doing right now, curmudgeon. You're Googling it, going, what is that, right? So I Googled it, looked it up, and had a good laugh about it because it was one of those things that I didn't know what I didn't know. I never heard that word before. And there are a lot of things in life like that where we didn't know what we didn't know. Ever hear yourself on a recording? Ever hear that? Like, that is crazy. You're standing around with your friends or with your spouse or with somebody, and you're listening to yourself on a recording going, I don't sound like that. And they're like, yes, you do. And you have these illusions, maybe like me, that you have this deep radio voice, and you're listening going, this guy sounds like he doesn't have a mouth. He talks right out of his nose, right? Like, so, and I meant that hypothetically. What are you laughing about, right? Or to see yourself in a video, that's even worse. Like in a video, you're watching yourself going, what are you doing with your hands? They're moving all over the place. And get them out of your armpits. And why are you putting them in your pockets? What's up with the back pocket? And you look like Peter Pan. You know, like, quit this stuff already, right? Or other things in life that you just go, I didn't know that I didn't know. It got pointed out by me by hearing my recording or seeing a video of myself, and I didn't know I did that. I didn't know I sounded like that. Did you know that we're all partially blind? Every single one of us is partially blind. There is a blind spot. Even if you have two healthy eyes, there is a blind spot in each one of your eyes that could create a problem for you if it weren't for the fact that you have two healthy eyes and one compensates for the other one. And if you wonder, do I really have a blind spot? Go ahead and Google it and you can look it up. There's a little test. It would be distracting if you do it right now for me, but you take your phone and you're kind of, and all of a sudden you go, wow, I do have a blind spot. It's kind of cool. Do it later today. But we have a blind spot, and there were two psychologists that began to play with this theory of blind spot and decided that, or determined that, we're not just blind in some spots physically, but we're also blind to some things, whether it be emotionally or to who we are. There's parts of us that we just can't see that other people can see. There are some things about us that we don't know that other people know. We don't know what we don't know. And I know that sounds a little bit like a Harry Carey statement where Yogi Berra, actually, a Yogi Berra statement where he said, I didn't say a lot of the things that I said, or it ain't over till it's over. But we just don't know what we don't know. And sometimes all we know is enough to just ask the question. Not sure where the answer to that question is going to take us, if we'll ever return to the place that we're at, because it could bring us to a brand new place. But we just know enough to ask the question, because maybe it's we can't do for ourselves what we can't do for ourselves. And can somebody please do for me what I can't do for myself? Can somebody please show me what I'm missing here, what I can't see for myself? Can somebody please speak into me where I'm just not hearing? And maybe the question goes all the way to the place where we go, Jesus, can you just help us? Will you just help us? And there was a group of disciples, those are students that Jesus was with, He was pouring into these 12 students over time, and one of them raised a question not far off that. Jesus, will you help us? But he said it in this way. His question was, one day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Will you teach us to pray? Clearly, he saw something in Jesus. These disciples saw something in Jesus that they longed for in themselves. Like, we don't know what we don't know, but we have a sense that you know, and we want to know what you know. We're just asking, can you teach us? Lord, will you help us? And Jesus' response to that question that came out of those disciples, the longer version of it is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and it reads like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Perhaps the most known prayer in all of the earth. Jesus, teach us to pray. And he rolls out what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. So I have a question in light of that prayer. Actually, the question is in light of the question that the disciples are raising. The question is in light of what these disciples were saying. We don't know what we don't know, but Jesus, can you help us with what we don't know? Lord, help us. I have a question now. Are they really asking Jesus to teach them to pray? Is that what this is? Because these guys had been hanging out with Jesus. They'd been walking with Jesus. They'd journey with Jesus. They were apprenticing with Jesus. Like, really? Really? They got this far down the road and Jesus hasn't taught them to pray yet? Is that what's going on? And I would say no. That is not what's going on. I don't believe they were actually asking Jesus to teach them a prayer. They were asking Jesus to teach them to pray. Two very different things. You can read a prayer without actually praying. You can lip the words without actually having your heart connected to it. And they were watching Jesus. In fact, the reason I believe this is because history would point out a lot of stuff about this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus pulled from other prayers during that day phrases that got put into the Lord's Prayer. In fact, the Our Father, it came from a prayer called the 18 Benedictions, a prayer that scholars would tell us. It was a prayer that was used in Galilee, the region in which Jesus and his disciples were traveling. The Our Father was lifted up in the synagogues, almost 100% certainty. That prayer rolled out. The disciples were in the synagogue when Jesus was teaching. It would have been prayed among them. Jesus, teach us to pray. They weren't asking to learn the 18 benedictions. They already knew it. They already prayed it. Something else is going on here. They didn't know what they didn't know, and they were looking for something else from Jesus. And we have another clue from another prayer that got rolled out during that same time. It was called the Kaddish. And the Kaddish, here's the prayer. That too would have been prayed in the synagogue. Exalted and hallowed be his great name in the world. He created by his own will. May his kingdom be established. If you can leave that up just for a second. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, the 18 benedictions, hallowed be your name, right there. Hallowed be his great name. Your kingdom come. May his kingdom be established. May it come. These disciples were hearing Jesus say prayers they already heard. They were hearing him say, you want to know how to pray? Let me give you verbiage you've already heard. He's giving them the familiar to take them somewhere else. They're asking the question, and sometimes all we have is the question. Not knowing What we don't know, just enough to ask the question, knowing that if it gets answered in a certain way, it could very well take us down a road where we'll never be the same again. We may never return the same again. So what is going on? Jesus' students watching him, walking with him, being his apprentice, and they're going, man, we Jews, we pray 3 times a day, and we say the benedictions, we say the Kaddish, we say these prayers. They had this group of people that either you did these prayers 3 times a day alone, or you did them in a group of 10 or 12, interesting, right? And it was called a minyan, that they would gather in and pray in. And so they're not asking, Jesus, can you teach us another prayer? They're saying, we've been watching him. There's something different about him. We've been watching when he goes off to his quiet place. He comes back. There's just something marked different about him. And these guys, having said their prayers, do you think maybe that they were gathered together, having conversation together as they watched Jesus, still not done? I think very likely. Do you think maybe they were talking about, what does he have that we don't have? I mean, that would be very human of them, right? And they were human. Asking, what is it that he has? What is it that's in him? He is different than us. Do you guys sense it? Because I sense it. And we don't know what we don't know, but we sense he has what we don't have. And let's ask him. Jesus, can you teach us that? Can you teach us how to pray like that? And he takes them to the familiar. And Jesus did what he so masterfully always did when asked a question. He takes the question and moves it from, this isn't just about a part of your life. Like you can segment out your prayer thing and put it over here and say, I did it. This is about all of your life. Let it permeate everything you are. Start like this. Get yourself centered. Our Father, my Father, I'm having a conversation with you. And your name is to be hallowed, honored everywhere it is mentioned. And I've just mentioned it. And let every cell in my body reverberate your honor. Your kingdom. You are a king. And a king always has subjects. I'm your subject. Your kingdom, let it come right here in me today. Everything I say, everything I do, let your kingdom be ushered in. Not just in heaven, but right here on earth. Let your will get done. I'm yours. And the prayer goes on. Jesus is saying, I'm not just asking you to pray. If you want to go where I go, if you want to be what I am, if you want to live like I live, if you want to serve like I serve, if you want to love like I love, you have to not fragment out and just say a prayer. This prayer has to become who you are, to the very core of who you are. And you know, when I think about people that have done that, or we think about people that have done that, their lives, they stand out. They move from the place where they're just able to go to church or just able to be a part of a group of people that call themselves Christian to a people that you look at and go, they have the right kind of thinking and the right kind of action and the right kind of living and the right kind of forgiving. That this person, the way they live, it's as if they're living out of that prayer that Jesus taught them to pray. They have the right kind of thinking. I belong to him. My allegiance is sworn to him. And they have the right kind of actions. I'm a kingdom oriented. I belong to the kingdom of God. I'm his subject on this earth. I live here in this land, but I belong to another. They have the right kind of living, his will. That's my joy. Whatever he would have me to do, that's what I want to do. And they have the right kind of forgiving, even when they're wronged. They take their cue off God, who chose to forgive even when he didn't have to begin to wish people well and to let go of wrongs. And when I think about people like that, I think about people like Martin Luther King Jr., who didn't have to go that way. And certainly, he's human, right? He was a human being, and so we never get it right, but not completely. But when he stood on his porch, having known it was bombed with his children and his wife inside of that house because of a violence trying to be done against him, he had two choices. And historians would tell us it could have tipped the whole movement that day. Had he called for violence, we would have a very different outcome than what he led. But he chose a different way. He said, my father, I'm his son. I belong to his kingdom. I am going to live out his will. I'm going to have the right kind of thinking. I'm going to have the right kind of action. I will have the right kind of living, and I will exert the right kind of forgiving. And he pleaded for nonviolence. I think of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, somebody that lived like this. Mother Teresa, who at one time in her life was asked why the streets of Calcutta, why among the most poverty-stricken people on earth? She said, because Jesus is here. I want to be with Jesus. And this is where he is, in a special way, among the poor. She was asked one time about her work, and the reporter said of her, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. And she said, neither would I. Neither would I. It's not why I'm doing it. I have the right kind of thinking. I have the right kind of action. I have the right kind of living. I have the right kind of forgiving. When she was given credit for her life, she would have none of it. Said, no, you don't understand. I'm nothing but a pencil in the hand of God. He's the master artist. And the less I wiggle in his hand, the better the masterpiece. He does it all. I'm thinking about people like Nelson Mandela, thinking about people like Henry. Henry, just a man in our church that not too many people knew. Not in terms of the world, but everybody in our church knew him. A church that I was a part of prior to coming to this church. And Henry showing up to every single funeral that we ever had because of what I offered to you and invited you into for the Ruddy family later here this afternoon. And I thought Henry was just a popular guy when I first started in that church because it seemed like he knew everybody. And finally one day this old man who was tall in stature, humble in heart, who was strong in story, a war hero, and he was feeble in body, was making his way into the church with a cane and walking with a limp. And he came into the funeral and I said, Henry, how do you know this person? His response, I don't. But the funeral's at our church, which means it's part of our family. And I will always come to show my respect and my love and my honor to the families that are part of our family. I love that. I'm thinking of Archbishop from the 1970s, an Archbishop from Uganda, who stood and said, I will have the right kind of action, even if it costs me my life, because I belong to something bigger than myself. And he stood when Idi Amin was leading a charge of violence against his own people. Estimated as many as 800,000 people that Idi Amin killed or had killed. Fed them to the crocodiles that were in that area. And Archbishop stood up. The Archbishop stood up against it and called out Idi Amin in public arena. And it was in February of 1977 that he was arrested and ordered murdered. But he chose, saying, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what I don't know, but I do know this, that I belong to God, and I will have the right kind of thinking. I am part of His kingdom, which means the right kind of action. I will carry out His will, no matter the cost, the right kind of living, and I will choose the way of Christ, the right kind of forgiving. We don't know what we don't know, but once in a while we'll ask a question that is so powerful it will take us down the road to a place that we're never the same again. And I just wonder if we can be humble enough to say, Lord, teach us to pray like that. Can you just teach us to pray like that? Not just say our prayers, but to pray in such a way that it will so orient my life that all of my living, all of my actions, all of my forgiving, everything is going to come out of that place. So I mentioned earlier, we're at the tail end of this series on Jesus for President. I don't know if you caught this, but the entire series was based off the Lord's Prayer. We never mentioned that, but it was all about that. In week one, we mentioned we all want a leader, but what if your leader, what if your candidate, what if the person that you want to lead, that you're anchoring hope on, leaves you wanting? Because your wants will leave you wanting unless your leader is your Father. The second week we were talking about the kingdom. May your kingdom come. We want to fit in. We want to belong to. We want to be a part of. That was sort of the sticky phrase we were using. We want to fit in. We all want to fit in. We want to belong to. We want to be a part of. But what do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of the kingdom where I'm able to say, not just in this life, but even in my death, I belong to a faithful Savior named Jesus. In week three, we were talking about how we live with one another. What happens when you're sitting at the table? If you remember Scott's story, sitting at the table with family. How do we live and how do we love and how do we forgive? Last week, Pastor Jeremy leading us by talking about the end story. Jesus never spoke these words, but we put this tagline on the end of the Lord's Prayer. For your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, this is the part Jesus never said, thine, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Something happens when we know that word forever, that power belongs to you forever. The kingdom belongs to you forever. That the end of the story, when we know the end of the story, it forms how we live here and now. We've been in this Lord's Prayer for 5 weeks now, and just today we reveal it. How then will we live according to this? Because on Tuesday, 2 days from now, somebody will likely be elected as our president elect for the 4 years that are to come. And I'm just going to keep it real with you here today because I've had several people in our church, a bunch actually, ask me, are you going to tell us how to vote? And then one person jokingly said, are you going to tell us how you're going to vote? And I said, I've been trying. We've been trying, not who to vote for, but how to vote. And I wrestled with whether or not to do this, but we're family, right? So can we just do this together? I'm just going to step into it together because I think about some of the preachers that I read periodically from the 1800s. And I've read some of the sermons of some of the pulpits that were on fire during periods in the history of the United States like this, that the pastors were bold in their preaching. So I'm going to invite you into just my struggle. How am I going to vote? I'll let you know. That I've been really struggling, really struggling. In particular with a statement that I've been hearing, and I've been praying a ton about this statement. People have said to me, and I can't tell you how many anymore. Maybe it's come out of your mouth too. I've spoken it before. We have to choose between the lesser of two evils. I'm just not okay with that anymore. Because that statement says that we're going to choose an evil? I just can't get there. How do we choose evil? When did it be okay for us who say, you're my Father, I belong to your kingdom, and may that kingdom come. May your will get done right here on earth, right here in this United States of America, even as it is in heaven. When did it become okay for us to say, well, that evil's worse than this evil, so I'll choose this evil? That's not okay. I'm not saying don't go vote for one or the other. I'm telling you, I am really struggling with that. I'm struggling with it, and I'm praying. And I don't know what I don't know. And so I'm asking the question that might lead me to a place that I've never been before. Lord Jesus, help us. Lord, help us to see what maybe we've become blind to. Show us what we can no longer see. And maybe we could just pray this prayer together this morning, because it seems that when Jesus said to his disciples, you want to learn to pray, this isn't about just praying. It's about the right kind of thinking. It's about the right kind of action. It's about the right kind of living. And it's about the right kind of forgiving that starts in you. And I would just invite you now to pray with me. Our Father, you are an awesome Father. And we declare that you are in the heavens. And you've made it known to us that there is not a touch point on earth either that isn't yours. And we have declared that your name is honored and hallowed. May it be so in our lives. May it be so even in our voting. Your kingdom come, oh, how we long for it this morning. I feel the tug of it for this nation, for this people, for me. May your kingdom come. May your reign and your rule, may it expand through us. That we don't just go to church, we are the church. We are your agent of change in this world. May your will get done. Let it begin with me. Right here on earth, even as your subjects, the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and all those that have gone before, even little Tommy Ruddy. May your will get done right here in me. Everything I do, every vote that we give in this next couple days here, may it be for your glory. And we thank you for the small things, that you give us what we need, that you've given us bread. You've given us homes. You've given us health enough to get here. Thank you. You're a good Father. Father, forgive us. We are so sorry. Because it's one thing to complain about the way of a world, it's a whole other thing to recognize that you've already declared, if my people, who have been called by my name, if they would just humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their ways, I would heal their land. We're turning right now. We're just asking. We don't even know what we don't know, but we're asking that you would show us where we have participated in the wrong stuff. We've argued over the wrong things. We've joined up with the wrong forces. And we want to be forgiven. And we're going to let go. We're going to be like you. Help us to be like you. And letting go of any wrongs that have been done against us. And now, lead us not into temptation, not again. Deliver us from the evil one. And most of all, we know the end of the story. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever and ever. And when we get to heaven, we'll be singing it forever and ever and ever. And we bless your holy name. God's people said, Amen.